Joining us now, she's from the Golf Channel, and she's an analyst for NBC Sports, Paige McKenzie. Welcome in, Paige.
Hey, glad to be back, guys. Love hearing from you.
Yeah, we love talking to you. How fun was it for you to have a little prime time talking golf on NBC?
It was a blast. I mean, it was actually my first broadcast ever, really, on the LPGA Tour, especially as lead analyst. I think I'd worked 2 days an LPGA event last year, but never done a 4-day event, never done a major, never done network. So it was an all new experience for me, but I couldn't have picked a better event to do it at. And my goodness, what about that finish?
Yeah, it was incredible. We all watched NBC, you know, touting the arrival of Dale Jr. in the booth. Well, they put Dale Jr. over on you know, the NBC Sports Network. They put you on NBC. So, I think we know which was the bigger splash made. So, since this was your first shot at this, how much practice did you do? I mean, actually, Dale Jr. did talk at length about how many sort of fake races they called together to make sure that they could have some dynamic, you know, chemistry together. How about you? Did you get together with those guys at all and sort of work on your chemistry?
No. In fact, really my only practice leading into this was NCAA tournament. I went to Oklahoma and called the women's NCAA match play, and I had a great time with that team, but I had never worked with Dan Hicks or Gary Cope, and obviously I knew Tom Abbott and Kay Cockerell and Jerry Fultz from just having played on the LPGA Tour, but for Dan and Gary and I, we went out to dinner a couple times that week, we played golf that week, we did the best we could to kind of create that chemistry. Because it's so important on television to have that chemistry. So we were, you know, doing the best that we could to kind of fast forward, you know, the years of experience that it usually takes to kind of feel each other out. But I can't say any nicer things about these two guys. They were nice, professional, accommodating. They tried to make me look good and make me feel comfortable. The whole NBC team in general was tremendous.
All right, was it? Hey, new girl, you have to carry the equipment and pay the bill when they went out to dinner. I mean,
oh, they did. They totally gave me the rookie orientation or prank or hazing or whatever you want to call it in the pre-show meeting the first of the week. Tommy Roy, like legendary producer for NBC, is telling me that I have to give this speech in front of the group, and I'm like, yeah, okay, whatever. Like, clearly, you're making this up. And we get through the meeting, and he goes, okay, it's time for your speech. And I was like, seriously? We're really doing this? And Mike McConnelly, the president of the Golf Channel, was like, yeah, Paige, you need to stand up for it. And so I stand up, and I start giving the speech, and then Tommy was like, we're just joking.
Wait, what was your speech about?
Yeah.
I mean, and this is the whole crew, the whole NBC crew that's going to be working, like, everybody involved. And so I stood up and I was saying, I'm happy to be here. I'm really passionate about my job. Like, thanks for welcoming me in. I mean, the whole thing. I didn't know what to say.
Very nice.
But yeah, it was this whole prank. That was my initiation.
Well played. I'm curious in terms of the dynamic in the booth. I mean, did you find it at all difficult to sort of stay out of the weeds and keep what you were saying for a general golf audience that may not understand all the differences and the nuances of the game? Or did you feel free to just jump in and add what you could to try to, you know, provide color for the broadcast?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't really worry so much about what the viewers were watching. I was really trying to explain what I was seeing, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So all the nuances that I normally am experiencing as a professional golfer, I was trying to convey that to the audience. And I definitely feel like I was tentative in the beginning. I felt like by the weekend coming around after a couple days under my belt, and then by then the field is narrowed down. You kind of have your storylines. You can dive deeper into each of these players. I guess I didn't feel scripted. I didn't feel worried about the viewer. I was really more just trying to have a conversation with Gary and the guys on the ground and really just trying to articulate what all of us were seeing, which is kind of what's fun about our broadcast and the NBC. And that was one of the things that our producer really emphasized, was they wanted us to feel like we're having a conversation. And I think in the end, that's what the viewer got. They got to kind of hear us just fleshing it out amongst ourselves as we're seeing it happen in front of us.
Yeah, I mean, talk a little bit about the prep work that you do. I mean, you know, having the events here in Charlotte, we see, you know, generally it's a CBS broadcast. We see, you know, Nick Faldo out maybe riding around in a golf cart or maybe walking out in the fairways or walking in the greens and doing this kind of stuff. I mean, and getting a feel for sure. The golf course. Did you do stuff like that to kind of get a feel for what the players were going to be up against? Kind of like you would have if you were a player.
Without question. And I was there early in the week because I was working morning drive Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So I had plenty of time to walk the range. I caught up with as many players and caddies as I could, probably hit a third of the field before the event started. And then I drove the course on Monday, and then I walked it. And I ran into players during their practice round and walked with them for holes, ran into Cameron McCormick, some coaches, got as much information as possible. I took diligent digital notes so that when it was game time, I had that to reference back to kind of fill in the viewers on any of the other outside the ropes or more preparation, practice, instruction, things like that, that these players were going through, equipment changes, etc. So I did my very best to catch up on the homework on the LPGA because I'm not out there every week. I mean, I cover it every week, but I'm not inside the ropes. I'm not out there. So I did my very best to get as caught up and ready for the week as I could from that perspective.
Yeah, I mean, you did awesome, and though I'm not sure I can be wholly objective, you did better than Junior. But one thing you guys did similarly is you both crews, because during the last sort of thunder out, I don't even know if it was a rain out, but mm-hmm. You had that little delay, I flipped over to NASCAR to check out the end of that race. And what was cool about both is that both crews for both events allowed themselves to get caught up in the enthusiasm. They had a great race in Chicagoland, and you guys obviously had an amazing finish, you know, well, after that rinse on what, 16? On 17.
17.
Yeah. I mean, things got really tight. And both crews sort of allowed themselves to enjoy the moment and get caught up in it. Did you ever feel like you guys were on the edge of high-fiving too much or being too excited?
For me, I think that's my tendency. Anybody that knows me knows I'm very excitable, and especially when I'm talking and watching golf and when you had that kind of drama coming down the stretch. And I completely understand why some viewers don't get Sung-Hoon Park, but for me, I'm looking at just exactly how she plays. You know, I don't get caught up in the emotion of the player. It's more of the style of which she plays. It gets me excited. And when she was hitting these drives the way that she did on the 18th hole, I mean, I was jumping out of my chair, and I was hopeful that the audience was hearing that in my voice, because I want them to get excited about what I think is really, really good golf.
Again, joined by Paige McKenzie of the Golf Channel and NBC Sports. And Paige, you know, this is an interesting question that I'm going to be interested to get your take on it. You know, here we have another PGA of America championship that had a, you know, 10 under par score versus a U.S. Open score. This course had some rain and had some, you know, had some weather conditions that came through. But it just, for some reason, it just seems like the PGA Championship golf courses are holding up better under differing conditions than they're setting it up for than U.S. Open courses are. I mean, this was a great tournament. A whole, you know, bunch of people had a chance to win this thing. Is the setup for PGA Championship, do they just seem like they know what they're doing?
Yeah, I mean, I can't speak to the U.S. Open just because I wasn't at Shoal Creek, but I can certainly speak to what I saw from the PGA of America and Kerry Haig, who set up the golf course. And because the conditions were very soggy, they did move up the tees about 100 yards the first day from the scorecard distance. The other thing that I noticed that I thought was really, really smart was there wasn't a ton of back pins with short irons the first day, where you know you can't get the ball to stop when you're getting so much spin on the greens. So I think there was a little bit of help there in kind of hole location selection and how they decided to play that out throughout the week. So I know a lot of the players talked about it, and they really enjoyed the layout and how it was set up and felt like it was very fair long, because it still was very wet and played, I think, over 66 every day, 6,600. Kerry Haig did a phenomenal job of setting up the golf course where it was fair, scoreable, but highly penalizing if you miss hit shots.
Yeah, I mean, even the par fives. I mean, you look at it and people think about, well, we move up the tees and it encourages that risk reward. But some of them were moved up and it made a drive that could be too long and put you in with a second shot that was just really difficult to make stick. And it really looked like from well, I guess everyone but Henderson, I guess Brooke, everybody but Brooke seemed to be having a good time out there, especially on Sunday. She had a great time the first 3 days, but yeah, man, she looked, that's the first time I've seen her look rattled on a Sunday. And it was very strange to see because it changed her. She's already got her own swing and her own set of mechanics, but some of her pre-shot routine, it looked rushed. It looked like she was, you know, a combination of hesitant and just wanting to be over. It was very strange to see her do that and tumble down the leaderboard.
Without question. I mean, I know Brooke Henderson well, and she's a classy, you know, a classy player, a classy lady. And I was disappointed to see her break a club, and I think she was probably embarrassed after she did it. And it was very much out of character, and there's no defense of it. But I completely understand the frustration that she was feeling at the time because she got absolutely nothing out of her rounds on the weekend. She played great tee to green and then just had nothing around the greens and couldn't score. So, again, no excuse for the behavior, but I completely understand the frustration.
Yeah, and when you look at the final, you know, how this thing shook out, I mean, Park, you're right. She's, I don't think people appreciate the athleticism in her because they get caught up in the, she seems a little robotic and, she, you know, she's just not a warm and fuzzy character, although it was nice to see her emotional at the end and see that she is indeed human. But, you know, Sun Yung-Ru, everybody seems to, you know, like how what she does, and I don't think we really know much about NASA yet, although she won the previous week. When you look down the rest of this leaderboard, say to the top 10, is this a good leaderboard for the future of the sport?
Yeah. I mean, I think when you throw in like an Angel Yin, who's a tremendous character, a young American that can absolutely bomb it, completely undisciplined on the golf course. I think, you know, as she ages, she'll kind of hone that. I think we saw the immaturity a little bit in the mistake that she made on the 16th hole. I think it was on Saturday where she just chose to be a little too aggressive. But I think she's so engaging to watch. It's fun. And I think a lot of the viewers are going to get past, you know, who these players are and kind of get a chance to know them more. Like, it may not be a name. I guess I didn't phrase that right. They're going to get a chance to get to know the players the more that they're on the air. And you're going to get these personalities coming out. And I think Angel's a perfect example of an up-and-coming player that very well could go on to win a lot of LPGA events.
Real quick before we go, we got about a minute. Did you give Stacey Lewis any advice, and how's the little one doing?
We did talk a little bit about swinging while pregnant because it is extremely challenging when your muscles are stretched out. I mean, everybody thinks it's like having a pot belly. It's not, because if you have a pot belly, you got the fat on top of the muscle. Your muscle still contracts normally. Yeah. If you're pregnant, your muscles all of a sudden get to the top of the golf swing and your brain's telling them to go, but they're not. So we had a bit of a chuckle about that because that's just part of it. And I know she's ready to take maternity leave and so excited for her and her family to have a little baby girl. Because, you know, my son is almost a year old now, Beckett, and he's doing great. He's a kick, that's for sure. He's very mobile and keeps me very busy.
Oh, yeah. Well, we always appreciate you coming on with us, and it's great talking to you, and hopefully we'll catch up with you again soon, and we'll talk a little bit more.
Yeah, sounds good. Thanks, guys.